Okay, I'm going to be talking about monitoring new adolescent immunization uptake using Immunization Information System, IIS. We're going to look at early trends from Oregon's CDC Sentinel IIS surveillance population. Now, over the last 10 to 15 years, population-based IIS have been being built, and those IIS have become a primary source for clinics, schools, and others to find and use patient-level immunization records for children and adolescents from multiple sources. Now, since IIS client records are becoming more complete and timely, IIS data are also becoming increasingly useful for immunization coverage and other immunization-related outcome surveillance, evaluation, and research. Today we're going to talk about monitoring early uptake of several new vaccines from Oregon's Sentinel area adolescents, and I'll tell you about what that means in a second. I'm adding a vaccine. We're going to talk about uptake of tetanus toxoid, reduced diphtheria toxoid, and acellular pertussis vaccine, or Tdap, that's easier to say, meningococcal conjugate vaccine, MCV, and I added human papillomavirus vaccine as a bonus. Now, even as vaccine-preventable disease incidence continues to decline, VPD control and prevention remain a challenge, especially for specific diseases. For example, pertussis remains sporadically active in Oregon with a number of outbreaks, and I was counting somewhere around 15 outbreaks in Oregon communities occurring between 2003 and 2007. Now, with waning immunity after child vaccinations, adolescents and adults were notably at risk for pertussis in these communities. This is a slide from CDC's Pink Book, and you can see that the yellow and the red bars include pertussis cases, especially at the later years, among adolescents and adults, and they predominate the percentage of cases or the number of cases. One example from Oregon, summing up 2003, we had several outbreaks and also sporadic reports. And you can see that for the age group on the very right-hand side, for 10 and above, the substantial number of cases in adolescents and adults also. Now, in the last years, with the availability of new vaccines directed at some of these diseases, the ACIP has recommended several new adolescent vaccinations. And as a review for you and for me, here are some of the recommendations for MCV vaccination. These were published in MMWR in May of 2005. The FDA came out and licensed these vaccines earlier, as you know. And they're routinely recommended for all children between 11 and 12 years of age, unvaccinated children at entry to high school, some older adolescents, college freshmen living in a dormitory, and other at-risk adults and adolescents. Now, for Tdap, the MMWR was published March of 2006, so later on. But the vaccine is directed at the same age groups or similar age groups, adolescents from 11 to 12 years of age, and adolescents 13 to 18 who have not received a Tdap should get a catch-up booster at some point. And more details that I'll skip. For HPV vaccination, that's the most recent one that's come out. MMWR was published in 2006, June of 2006, and again, focused on the same age group for girls, 11 to 12-year-olds. The vaccine series could start earlier at 9, and there's catch-up vaccination recommendations for older adolescents and young women. Now, the Federal Vaccine for Children's Program has incorporated these vaccines for VFC reimbursement, and as possible, states cover some of these new vaccine costs using CDC 317 vaccine and other funds. Now, for Oregon, VFC vaccine is available to public and private providers, and 317 is available only to public clinics. We have no state general funds for vaccine, So right around the time that the ACIP added hepatitis A for children living in western states with high hepatitis A incidence rates, we became a two-tiered state covering ACIP recommended vaccines with 317 and VFC. So what that means for these three vaccines is the following. For on the left-hand side, you can see that VFC providers are covered for Tdap, MCV, and the polysaccharide vaccine, as well as HPV. But for 317 providers and patients, just two of them, Tdap and HPV, are covered. MCV and the polysaccharide vaccine are not covered currently under our 317 rules. Well, let me tell you a little bit about our registry. All of our data are submitted voluntarily from multiple sources. You can see we have quite a bit of participation from private clinics, public clinics, our Medicaid program, major health plans, major IPAs, vital statistics, and we have a data exchange with Washington State's Child Profile Registry. This sums up, the last time we counted, to 6.5 million individuals represented in the registry, 35 million shots, thousands of records being imported each week, and we encourage weekly submission of data. Now, from 2004 to 2007, Oregon hosted a CDC-funded Sentinel IIS surveillance project using alert IIS data from a growing 12 zip code area in the greater Portland area to monitor child immunization coverage. Now, Sentinel sites routinely started to monitor adolescent immunization coverage, beginning with data from the second quarter of 2006, essentially in October 2006. Beginning in 2008, this year, we've received additional funding to continue our Sentinel surveillance. And our surveillance area has been expanded to a 42 zip code area, including the original area, but I'm only going to present data from the original area. Now, what is a CDC Sentinel IIS surveillance site? Well, let me quote from Diana Bartlett. It's a population-based immunization information system that contains a population of children in a geographic area with complete vaccination histories, so that changes in coverage can be rapidly detected and monitored. So to ensure that we're capturing population and vaccines well, we really work hard to maintain provider reporting, including timeliness, vaccine capture, and data quality at CDC standards. Where is our Sentinel site? Well, this is a map of Oregon, and if you look at the top left, we're really looking at the Portland, Beaverton, Gresham area where the red arrow is. And focusing a little bit farther down, you can see that, I hope you can see, there's a yellow area and a blue area. The blue area represents the actual area where the kids live that we've been following from the original Sentinel region. And the yellow area represents areas that we're going to expand surveillance to this year. So some of the original measures of for capacity building sites for CDC considered our original Sentinel as a capacity building site focused on population capture of children. And you can see here some measures. In Oregon, we had well over the minimum number of children. That's less than 6 years. Timeliness, greater than 75% vaccine data submitted and processed within 30 days, and we're doing fairly well on that over the measurement. Also, provider at private and public provider participation well over the standard, the minimum standard, and child participation, again, well over the standard. And our adolescent participation is somewhere in the upper 90s as well. We just looked at that recently again. And we're a population-based registry. So let me tell you a little bit about the demographics of the children living in our original Sentinel area. The Sentinel area is located in Washington County. It's one of the fastest growing counties in Oregon. There's a high-tech industry, fairly close to Portland, as you saw, and it's a little bit more affordable than some of the other areas around Portland. Our official percent children under 18 that are within the federal poverty level is around 13%, but we think we have a lot more, a higher percentage of children at greater need than this measure captures. In terms of race and ethnicity, Oregon is not a particularly diverse state, although for children in this county, we've got 67% white non-Hispanic, 20%, about 20% Hispanic, 7.3% Asian, and then 4% of two or more of children with two or more races reported from census data. And this represents about 15% of Oregon's children and adolescents under 19 years of age, and our new Sentinel area will include about 30% of children in Oregon. So, starting quarterly in October 2006, we extracted vaccination records for rolling cohorts of adolescents aged 11 to 18 with most recent addresses in the Sentinel area and with two or more vaccine antigens in their records. These rolling cohorts included approximately 42 to 46,000 adolescents total and almost 21,000 to 23,000 girls of the same age group. So it's a big population to look at for uptake. Now we extracted and deduplicated these records using our standard protocol, including manual checks. We used specific vaccine antigen codes to identify individual antigens and then looked at up-to-date vaccination rates for three age cohorts, and I actually looked at one other age cohort, and calculated those using assessment dates about 1.5 to 2 months prior to when we did the extracts, so we'd have be able to allow for reporting catch-up. So here are our percent adolescents with greater than one or more MCV4 vaccines broken out by age. And you can see that the purple lines or the purple bars on the left-hand side represent the first quarter of surveillance. And for the target population, you can see that for the 11 to 12-year-olds, we were under 5% at the third quarter of 2006. Again, that's around October when we looked at that. And then looking at the red bar on the other side, on the right-hand side, we can see that population achieved approximately 13%, 12% coverage. The news is a little bit better for 13 to 15-year-olds with stopping around 20% the last time we looked in the fourth quarter of 2007, which is actually in this January when we looked. For 16 to 18-year-olds, you could see that it's covering around 20%, again, fourth quarter 2007, and then you can see the combined increase for the combined age group on the right-hand side. For Tdap, which came out later than MCV, the rates are actually higher. So you can see for quarter three, for the target age group of 11 to 12, we're starting out around about 12%, I should say, and going up to about 25% by fourth quarter 2007. 13 to 15-year-olds started out a little bit lower, 10%, and are hovering around 30% right now in our Sentinel area. And for 16 to 18-year-olds, the news is not as good. We're around 15% last time we looked, and you can see the combined rates on the right-hand side, or for the combined age group. For adolescent girls with more than one HPV vaccine, and again, HPV is the most recent one that came out, we see a fairly high uptake. You can see that quarter three, 2006, essentially zero rates and for the target group. For 11 to 12-year-olds, we're starting out very low and then hovering around 13, 14%. For 13 to 15-year-olds, the rates go up to less, a little bit less than 25%, maybe 23%. And 16 to 18-year-olds, around 25%. And then a combined 13 to 18-year-olds, that's that other age category that I mentioned, it's around the same as the 16 to 18-year-olds. And again, you can see the combined age group rates at the right-hand side. So taking that combined age group, those combined age group rates for each of the ones that I just showed you and putting them on one slide, you can compare the difference in terms of uptake. For MCV, the MCV rates are a lot lower than the Tdap and HPV rates by quarter 2007. Tdap seems to be doing the best in terms of around 23% or so, and HPV is hovering over 20%. So some of the limitations and strengths of IIS-based surveillance include all child and adolescent residents may not be captured. There are unvaccinated kids, although it's hard to get into school now without some type of vaccine record, although you can exempt, and we have exemptors in our state. Highly mobile kids might not be captured, or those vaccinated by non-reporting clinics, and for that matter, not all providers participate, even in the areas of interest. However, we've been building this system for almost 15 years. Many providers and health plans participate. Nearly all of the clinics and health plans participate within the Sentinel areas. We also rely on multi-source reporting by the clinics and health plans, including billing sources in Washington State's registry that I mentioned. And we think that reduces the possibility that children and adolescents and vaccinations are missed. This has the potential to be rapid, local, maybe even real-time at some point, population-based surveillance among larger populations and possible with other methods, for example, NIS. Another issue is vaccine deduplication. That still may be incomplete, but we use standard methods across time periods, and we think that that enhances the rate comparability over time at least. These are our first adolescent vaccine uptake rates for Oregon for the first year since these vaccines have become available. These rates serve as our baseline for information, at least within the Sentinel area. And while MCV has been available and recommended longer, MCV rates lag behind Tdap and HPV rates in our Sentinel area. We need more information about the impacts of some of the early limited supplies issues for MCV, the case reports that came out for Guillain-Barré syndrome, and those are the date ranges from the MMWR that was published, I think, in fall of 06, I think. And also the lack of 317 coverage for providers and how that affects their use, and also how parents and adolescents accept MCV. And for that matter, we would like to know that that last bit of information for the other vaccines as well. Despite these early increases, with a lack of specific adolescent immunization visits for in clinical practice, it's still unclear how quickly these rates will continue to increase and what barriers may appear. So we need to be ready for to take a look at that. As in other states, Oregon has a ways to go to achieve higher coverage. Thank you very much.